next speakers. So our recording is on. I believe our chat's going to be off. And our next speaker is Ed from New Jersey. Ed, it's all yours. I believe Audrey will have the timer up, but if you want her to give you any notification at a certain time, you just let her know. And you're on, sir.
Thank you, Fran. Yeah, as long as the timer's up there, that's fine. I don't need a notification. And yeah, I'm Ed from the great state of New Jersey. And I just want to welcome everybody from around the country. And if there's anybody I saw on from around the world, so it's great to see this so well attended. I haven't really been on many Zoom meetings. I prefer in person, but I think a meeting is a meeting, and wherever I could get recovery is where I need to go. So I just wanted to start with a little bit about myself. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And when I came in the rooms 8 years ago, it's almost 8 years to the day. In a few more days, it will be. When I came in 8 years ago, I used to hear people say that they were gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. And up until this past year, that was not me. I was gratefully trying to figure out how to graduate from the rooms. But that's not what happened. I think where the grateful recovering compulsive overeater is for me is that I've had two relapses. My story is not one of unbroken abstinence. But along the way, God, the God of my own understanding, became the number one relationship in my life. And so that's changed my life entirely. And that's all started with abstinence. And so I'm just going to go into a little bit about who I am, how I came into the rooms, and then I'll get into talking about abstinence, which the previous speaker did such a great job of zooming in on. So I don't know if there's that much I could add to that. When I was young, I wasn't overweight. I might have had little issues with sugar as a kid, but food didn't really become a thing for me. I was very athletic. I was in very good shape. There were other issues along the way, but they self-corrected. I had issues with drinking and crazy dating, sex kind of stuff early as a teenager and in my early 20s, and then overworking in midlife. I started overeating in my early 30s was the very beginning. My wife was pregnant with our first child, and she gained 35 pounds in that 9 months that she was pregnant, and I gained 30 pounds during that 9 months. And after my first child was born, in the few months after that, my wife lost all her weight. I didn't lose any of the 30 pounds that I gained, and then I started adding on weight. And I came into the rooms 8 years ago at 49 years old at 325 pounds. I was morbidly obese. My life was falling apart. My health, I could barely get off the couch. My marriage was falling apart. My kids couldn't stand me. The only one I had in my corner at home was the cat. My cat, she's been through it thick and thin. I had never been in a 12-step room before. I wound up going to a doctor because I didn't know why I was gaining weight. I tried a couple little things. I had never really been on diets. I always thought, excuse this, but this is just me being honest. I always thought diets were more for women. And it just wasn't something I ever really did. But after I went to the doctor to find out why I was gaining weight, I thought I had some kind of illness, maybe cancer. He told me to get a blood test. And I had a friend when he was younger who was in AA and NA. And I once went to a meeting where he got a token. And so I went online to see if there was something for food with 12 steps, something. And so I went to a meeting, my first meeting. And what really changed for me was that week, that meeting, the ladies that were at the meeting told me to go to six different meetings. But what changed for me is I went to a Friday night meeting in Hackensack, a HAL meeting. And I remember the sponsors in that meeting standing up and sharing how much weight they lost. and I wanted what they had. And I didn't have, I'm not a religious person outside the room. But I did have a God in my life. The God of my own understanding that I came in the rooms with was the gift of desperation. That's all I had. And boy, was I desperate. And so I wanted what the sponsors in that program had. And so I did get a sponsor. And I got abstinent right away. First day I got my food plan, I followed it and became abstinent. And that abstinence was, yeah, like the previous speaker said, for me, I understand it very similarly, like that door. It opens the door up to a different world for me. And it all it is the door. But that change that changed that changed that changed between that and going through the first couple steps. I found my higher power. And I would probably describe that as like what the in the big book they describe as a psychic change. That's what kind of happened for me. Something shifted inside me. And it wasn't just that I lost a few pounds. Becoming like and that food plan, I had like a clean, what I would call a clean abstinence. So my like alcoholic foods, they were 100% down. And that combined with going through the step, beginning the steps and connecting to a higher power, I started meditating right when I first came into the program and praying. Somebody gave me a prayer sheet from the big book, which I still use for my morning prayers. Yeah, something, there was a shift. And I knew was I knew I was where I belong. And me walking in the rooms of OA was one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my life. For me, abstinence isn't the number one thing in my life, but I will say that for today, that God is the number one relationship in my life. And without abstinence, I don't, the door is shut for my higher power. I describe it a little bit like when I was a kid, I watched cartoons and I remember Charlie Brown, like when he would go to school, the teacher would talk, wah, 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 wah. Like that's what my higher power sounds like when I'm in the food. There's no connection there. And so I have to be abstinent to for this beautiful world to open up. And that's what it's like for me. And another big shift for me was when I did my fifth step, doing a fourth step and then turning that over to my sponsor. Because for me, when the food came down, it was very easy to see in doing the steps that a big hole in my life was that I never let people know who I am. I never knew how to process my feelings. I never had a healthy way of dealing with certain thoughts that I had. And the fifth step really illuminated that for me. And so for today, I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. So that muscle that I worked out in step four is what I use daily in my step 10 because I live in step 10, 11, and 12. And for me, I also, like the previous speaker, I do step one daily. I have to admit I'm powerless every day. I'm powerless over food. And I also do step three daily, which is I turn my will over and will and life over to my higher power. And I do that through saying the step three prayer daily. As far as abstinence, the previous speaker defined it, the action of, I don't have it in front of me, but refraining, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, refraining from compulsive overeating while working towards a healthy body weight. The second part of that, that wasn't part of abstinence when I first came in the program. It was maybe a year, within 2 years that I came in a program that they added the second part. And for me, weight isn't everything, but weight matters. And weight mattered a lot when I first came into the rooms. I wanted to be one of those house sponsors. I wanted to stand up and announce how much weight I lost. And yeah, but for today, because I've had a couple relapses, and the weight, thankfully, for me, the weight still comes off pretty, it comes off, I wouldn't say easily, but when I'm abstinent, the weight comes off. But I realized over the years is, that's what I came in for the program, but what I need is the neutrality and the sanity that comes for me. That's in the 10 step promises, the neutrality that happens for me. And for today, I can say I have that neutrality. And that's a tremendous gratitude that The food thoughts are not driving me crazy. And what's replaced that for me is how can I be of service? And first, to be of service to others, I have to learn how to be of service to myself. And coming into the rooms at 49 years old, I can honestly say now that I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to be of service to myself. I didn't know how to take care of myself when I came into these rooms. And so getting abstinent was part of it. Learning to give service, learning proper to take care of myself, put me first. And not in the sense of being selfish, but that I need proper rest and proper exercise for somebody my age. And I played a lot of basketball when I was young, so who has a lot of mileage on my knees and my lower back? So for me, proper exercise means walking. And I don't even walk rigorously. I do it more for what I would call spiritual fitness, to remain in fit spiritual condition. And for me, the abstinence, yeah, I've had a couple relapses. And what is that process like? What is that process like for me to get abstinent? What do I do? I go to a lot of meetings because for me, the willingness isn't there. And so I rely on the higher power that I feel in the rooms. So I didn't know this when I first came in. I was going to quite a few meetings, but I got abstinent right away. But when I came back after COVID, I had a long relapse where I had lost 120 pounds when I first came into the rooms. And I during COVID, and it started before, I put back on a 105 of those 120 pounds. So I came back almost at the same weight that I came in the rooms. And so what I just started doing is going to a lot of meetings. And so for me, I separate willingness from wantingness. And so I can have that wantingness, but the willingness for me, it comes through higher power. So I rely on the what I feel in the rooms, that strength in the rooms. And I want to give a shout out this time for the Montclair meeting, the Sunday morning Montclair Into Action meeting. It's a big book meeting with very strong recovery, and I don't think it's a coincidence that I found recovery. That was a big part of it. There's people working very strong programs, very dedicated to the program, and so I just want to give gratitude for that because this is a we program, and I can't do this by myself, and so I. And it's important for me to remember that I haven't made up anything that I do here. I work the steps. I follow the traditions. I have a food plan. I make outreach calls, and I give service in meetings, and even I give service to people. I have two people that I'm helping right now. Sorry. I'm not sponsoring them, but almost like maybe temporary sponsoring them. One of them, both of them are from different programs, and they have what I would call, one of them has like a guru sponsor that also sponsors in this program, but I kind of almost like co-sponsor a little bit. I guess my point that I'm making is that I'm willing to do service, whatever that may mean. Service. It's not, I don't get abstinent and I don't get recovery from giving service, but it's an essential part of it. And I always have to remember what the big book says, that I can't transmit what I don't have. So it doesn't matter how many sponsees I've had. I've had relapses where I had to turn my sponsees over and tell them that I don't have anything to give. And that doesn't feel so good. But that's just part of my story. And that's why my Also, why my step two has changed over the years. My step two today is came to believe that a power greater than myself will restore me to sanity because I've had relapses and I know what happens when I reconnect to that higher power, that the sanity returns. And for today, I'm sane. And I know from tradition five that our primary purpose is to carry the message to those who still suffer. And so when I go to meetings or I get asked to speak today, that I have a purpose and that I'm living in the solution and I'm a part of just this wonderful program with so many wonderful people I've met along the way. and I don't need to suffer for today. I have the blueprint that I found in the big book, and through also being around people that work this program and are willing to come to meetings or or on a phone are willing to share their program with me, because I'm just a product of everybody that I've been in contact with in this room. This is the we program. All the steps is we as us. It doesn't say anything about I or me. And if I talk in I and me, I'm just relating my own experience, but I'm not an I and I'm not a me. I'm a we. And that's the people in this program, people in the meetings, people that I haven't that I've even said hello to in chat, who I haven't seen along the way, but have been a part of my journey. The we is also even people in my personal life. I have a very supportive home life here. I spend a lot of time, I put a lot of energy into recovery, and so I get that support at home. And so everybody is a part of my journey. And I just want to share that for me, I'm grateful for anybody that's willing to come to meetings, that's willing to give effort to be in recovery. There's no wimps in recovery, as far as I'm concerned, because this is about, for me, stepping into the truth. And I can't say every day that feels terrific, because in order to feel joy, I have to be willing to feel what sadness feels like or what loneliness feels like. But that's why I have now this loving higher power that I found in this room. And my loving higher power is what carries me through those times. And then I also understand, instead of eating over or running away from those feelings that don't always feel so great, when I'm willing to step into them, I start to learn to have a relationship with them. And then what I learned through that is, a lot of times it's not the feeling, it's the fear of it. It's the fear of it's running away from it. Not that it feels great sometimes in certain feelings, but that's a relationship like any other. If I'm willing to engage in that, that gets better along the way. And just like abstinence in the very beginning, it's like going to the gym. If I haven't been to the gym in 10 years and I start lifting weights, the next day I'm going to be very sore for a couple of days. So in the beginning of abstinence, there's a little turbulence. That my experience with abstinence, but that goes away. And so for me, the beginning of it's a little bit of a battle. But then what happens is there's something that clicks in. And that's some people call it like a beginning of a pink cloud. But it's very beautiful, and it's just the beginning of something that I didn't know existed. And this program has just changed my life. I don't have time to list how all the things that it's given me, but I just want to share before I go a couple gifts that I have from being abstinent. Because I'm abstinent and because I found abstinence, I started working the steps and I found a higher power, and that's an amazing gift that I have in my life. That's the number one relationship in my life. I have a gift today that I'm calm. Even when things get a little tough, I can be a calm within a stormy period instead of being adding to that stormy period. That's a great gift of abstinence that I have. I have mental clarity. My mind is clear. My thoughts are clear today. When I'm in the food, I have like food fog and I don't have clear thoughts. I have the gift of vitality. I have a very vibrant, vital spirit today. That started with abstinence. There's more to it, but it's a gift of abstinence. I have hope that when I wake up with abstinence and I turn my will and life over, I wake up hopeful and optimistic daily. Another gift that I have is I have better relationships all around because of a lot of these previous gifts I mentioned, and also the gift of abstinence. And the number one relationship that I have is the one that with myself, because I think abstinence and working the steps, and I'm going to end here, is the most loving thing I could do for myself, is like working this program, getting abstinent and working the steps. And so, yeah, I just want to end with just expressing again how grateful I am to be a part of OA. And I'm grateful that I was asked to speak here. that I can show up absolutely, that I have something to share. And that's just a great gift for me today. And so thank you very much, everybody, for listening.